with deceptive tactics known as deception. Not to us either. The enemy uses deceptive tactics, deception against us. And when things happen that we don't understand or we have to fight a battle, does anybody ever have to fight a battle? Is anybody fighting a battle right now? Let me just speak to that. The promise is not, see, deception. You're having to fight something? And he uses that against. The promise is not that you won't ever have to fight. The promise is that the enemy won't win. Just receive that. It's not that if you're in a fight about something, the promise is that the enemy won't win. It's proven in all through Scripture. That really helps me lead in. I was literally like, where do I start? I literally right here have a scripture with a question mark beside it. From when I was studying, I'm like, I don't know that I'll use it. Guess what? I'm going to use it. Because it helps lead right into this. And it's Deuteronomy 28. So, John, you don't have to pull that up unless you just want. No, John, go ahead and pull it up because I want you to work extra hard. You got the audacity to wear that shirt you got on in here. I got some oil and some anointing, and we might need to cast something out. You know, birds fly upside down over the campus at USC, right? I won't tell you why. Somebody told me that one time. Actually said that about Clemson, but it was so funny. I was like, I'll take that and use it against somebody else. Deuteronomy 28 says, now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. If you, where does that put responsibility? A blessing, if you haven't figured out, a blessing's about to take place right here. But the blessing has to do with if you diligently obey. That just took obedience to another level. If you diligently obey, when God asks you to do something diligently, he's saying, I'm not giving you a pass. It's not okay to miss sometimes. Diligently obey. To observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you to do today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. He's literally saying that you will be tackled by blessings. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall you be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. See, right there is another proof. Doesn't promise that you won't fight. It's promised that the enemy won't win. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. He will establish you. He goes on and on for blessing, what he will do for blessing. And that sounds good, doesn't it? Wouldn't you like to be blessed like that? I want to live under a commanded blessing where God says, John, this day I command you to be blessed. Because nobody can stop that. And he's basically saying everything that you got will be blessed if you diligently obey. That's what he said. He even said your kneading bowl will be blessed. It doesn't mean that you got a bowl that, like, for tips. It doesn't mean you're holding a cup, you know, begging. You're kneading bowl. Kneading, K-N-E-A-D. It means like when you knead out your bread. He's saying even your cakes will be good. Even your biscuits are going to be good. You know what a flat line is in a cake? They don't have bakers in here. Look, flat line. You know, it's not a good thing. If you can taste a cake, like me, I can taste a cake, and cake's good. But somebody who really takes pride in their cakes showed me what there's a line that can happen if you don't get the butter just right in a pound cake. Now, there's so much butter that goes into a pound cake, it seems like you couldn't get it wrong. But there's a way that you can get it wrong. And it produces a heavy line in pound cake. You know how you slice a pound cake? Y'all know. But it's got this line in it. And a real baker gets disappointed if they see that line. He's saying even your cakes will be blessed. It's basically whatever goes in that kneading bowl, it's going to be blessed. He's saying, I want to bless you every way you can be blessed. How many of you, the question is, how many of you would like to be blessed like that? I'm right here, God, all day. And he turns that thing back around. He says, but if you don't diligently obey me, cursed you will be. And he goes to repeat everything that he said in blessing. He repeated it in cursing them. He said, it'll be so bad to you that everybody will look at you and laugh. And he said, in the joy, you, and he goes on to add, it's like he starts tacking on, like, I'll bless you. What I'm saying is I'll bless you in everything, but if you don't do this, I will hurt you so bad. And he even says this, he said, it will be so bad for you that the joy that I would have taken in blessing you, I will now take that joy in destroying you. That's the same God that we serve, y'all. He hasn't changed. I know we preach him different nowadays, but he's still the same God. If you diligently obey. So it's something where you start obeying and you continue to obey. And that's what you do with your obedience, is obey. I want to live in blessing. The cost is simple obedience. Boy, is that a high price to pay, though, sometimes. Genesis 32. So this is where I was going to start. Verse 24. Jacob. You remember when Jacob wrestled with an angel all night long? And are you willing to... let me just read it. Then Jacob was left alone. Now let's start at 22, so you know why he's alone. And he arose that night and took his two wives, two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Just say breaking. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. That is, the angel touched the socket of Jacob's hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." Say break. But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Say bless. See, there's a blessing that's about to take place, but blessing in my life, what I figured out about blessing, is centered around something breaking. It's always something breaking when blessing is close. "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask me about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. We had a Jewish rabbi come a couple of times over the year. He's with the Lord now. He's passed away and with the Lord now. He's a blessed man. And he and his wife came, and they took us through a Seder meal experience. Has anybody ever had the Seder meal experience? Well, there are all these things. It's an incredible thing. There's all these things that are representations that are used during the Passover meal, and they take the shank bone of a lamb. It's part of the reminder that they don't eat that anymore, because that was what shrank. And that hip socket on Jacob, it ties back to this. So that's what that shank bone meant, that this blessing cost them something. And the cost of the blessing was that Jacob would walk with a limp the rest of the time. Christine said, "You know, the Lord has always blessed my wife with things, just words for our family." And she's told me before all this happened, or when we knew that we were going into surgery with Kinsey, she said, I feel like that Kinsey's going to come out of this, but she's going to come out of it with a limp. And I just pondered that. And I told her this morning, I said, "I believe that you were right, except for Kinsey didn't come out with a limp. We came out with a limp." See, the blessing costs something. A blessing costs you something. So I was talking to such a wonderful friend of mine this week, and we were talking about the cost of blessing, and that's what I said. I said, everybody wants the blessing, but nobody wants the cost of it, because there's a cost to it. Because the blessing sounds good, but if all we ever got from God was blessing, since we are human and since we are selfish and sinful at our very root, God would just become a genie in a bottle that just showed up when we need it, right? That's why he's got to put requirements around it. That's why he's got to put things around it that shore up the relationship. If you read that whole chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you read that whole chapter out, you'll find out that there is a whole lot of warning from God. A whole lot of if you do and if you don't. A whole lot of consequence is being explained to them. And it really is under this framework of fear. You ever had to use fear on someone? I got this little dog at the house. It takes fear, y'all. Fear came in the form of a $50 collar. It had three types of settings. One was the beep. One's the vibration. And one's the part that I really enjoy. The shock. I know. You all heard it. I make them mad at me sometimes. But that dog listens to me when he doesn't listen to them. There's a reason for that. Pain, if you don't listen to those in authority over you, pain will become your teacher. It is a really good teacher. I can literally pick up anything plastic in the house and look at my dog and tap it. And he's like, take that collar off of him, he becomes unglued. He's liable to do anything. And I say, Henry, you just earned the collar back and make him jump up on something. He's looking so shameful. I get it on him, and he's going to sit at my feet. You know, I mean, he will just, he's right there. He's being a good boy again because I don't play when it comes to that thing. And there's certain areas in the house I'm truly trying to train him. We want you to be able to go to these places, but you just can't go there and chew stuff up, and you can't be there by yourself, and other things can't happen in there on my possessions. Henry, that's a shock. Well, when you have to teach somebody with fear, that speaks to a very low level of maturity, but I think even more so, it speaks to a very low level of understanding. Because when understanding comes, you don't have to use the fear tactics anymore. And they understand what he's really trying to do is bless me. That's how you raise your children, really. You start off with a very short leash. And as they mature and as understanding sets in, you give them more leash and more leash and more leash. And one day you just unclip the thing and that's their life. And it's theirs. Your responsibility is done. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Okay. Well, the Lord really wants us to walk in freedom. But he had a group of people that were called by his name that had a real problem with understanding. And he would have to do things, literally zap them to bring them back. And their problem was every time he blessed them, they messed up. Every time he blessed them, they messed up. So the question becomes this: can you stand to be blessed? Will blessing increase your walk with the Lord, or will it lead you away from the Lord? There is a scripture that talks about the time that we live in. Look at your neighbor and say, you live in that time. You live in that era. You live in that era. And that era of time is a time when people will begin to worship the creation more than the Creator. Can I tell you we're there? So if the Creator, the one who gives, here's where we're jacked up, is that if the blessing is this good, wouldn't it make sense that the one who gave the blessing is better than the blessing itself? Why is it that we get the blessing from the greater? Like, the greater is the one that gave it. The lesser is the gift itself, and the least is us. But all he's got to do is just bless us some, and we forget all about him and run off with the blessing like we got something. It started way back. It started way back when the Israelites were delivered out of Egypt. Do you remember that they started off with blessing? Right? Let me say this. You remember that God delivered them and they complained about being delivered, and it did not take them very long that they took gold and melted it down into a golden calf, right? And they began to worship the calf. Where'd they get the gold from? Who gave them the gold? Who told Egypt to give them the gold? Who told them in the very beginning that when I cause Pharaoh to finally let you go, you ask for all of these things. You ask for gold, you ask for silver, you ask for fine clothing. You get all of it. In other words, just take it all. Why? Because they were going to have to start a brand new economy. And it wasn't just six of them. They say there was at least 1 million, maybe two, maybe more. You better have something to help start your economy off. And God blessed them. So God, the greatest, gave the gift. And what did they do with the gift? Started worshiping it. Can you stand to be blessed? Let me really hit you hard. Is there anything that God has blessed you with that's getting more attention than... And he gave, I'm not trying to be mean, I'm just trying to be real. And I'm trying to tell you that God keeps a record of these things. And he said that this will happen. Now it's up to you to diligently obey. Obey and keep obeying. My pastor told me about a time whenever... His dad, this was way back. We're about the same age. And his dad, I grew up when he grew up, I'll say that. And he said that he remembered the first time in his dad's church that a man in his church started making six figures. And he came to the pastor and he said, I just can't give what I used to give. He said, it's getting to be a lot of money, and I just struggle with it now. He said, his dad, without missing a beat, he said, let me pray for you. He said, God, this man is struggling with the amount of money you blessed him with. Take him back down to that old level of money that you used to bless him with so that he doesn't feel stressed. And he's like, oh, stop, Pastor, stop praying. I keep on finding. Can you stand to be blessed? Now flip quickly to Hebrews chapter 3. I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 3. Paul wrote this letter to the people in Philippi, and he said this. I'm going to start with verse 7. He's talking about things that would set him up in society as someone to be admired, someone that was very accomplished, and he was listing his accomplishments. He said, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. I don't know what your translation is, but there's some other words that he used besides rubbish right there. It really gives you a great perspective of what he thought about what he had done this far in his life and how little that meant. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, verse 9, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Such a powerful verse of Scripture. And I have looked at that Scripture and preached from it many times. But Paul was a guy who had such a relationship with the Lord. All he wanted to do with the Lord was to know him more. And Paul even struggled about being on this earth any longer, another day. Paul didn't think like we think. Paul said, I'm ready and I want to go to heaven now. In other words, let's get it on. But he said, but if there's an advantage for me to be here, then I'll stay. Who talks like that? Who talks like that? That's an incredible place. That's a place that there's a part of me that wants to be that way, but there's another part of me that doesn't even understand that kind of talk. Why? Because there's still something missing in my understanding. Paul's level of understanding was great. Incredible. So I want to tie this blessing way back. Jacob became Israel. Jacob wanted to know the name of the one that he was fighting with. And because he needed to name it something. Back in those days, when something happened that was great, they would start gathering rocks and make an altar and say, this, I'm going to name this thing that thing that just happened, and that, so that every time I come by, I will remember what happened to me here. Can I tell you, there's some things in your life that you probably need to name? Last time I was here, this happened. Without turning back, the angel said, day is breaking. Jacob said, I won't let you go until you bless me. Blessing is centered around breaking. There are times in the Bible when Jesus took bread and he broke it and he blessed it. There's times in the New Testament when Jesus blessed bread. He blessed the people and then he broke the bread. All I'm saying is that there's times that he blessed it and then he broke it. And then there's times that he broke it and then he blessed. But what I want you to get out of that is that the blessing is always centered around the breaking. We don't like the breaking. My thing now is that, God, I don't know when you're going to bless me. I don't want to miss it when you do. And let me be able to stand through the breaking, because there is that level of understanding that I'm trying to attain to has to do with the breaking. See, I don't like that. I don't want to have to be broken. But God understands this, that in order for the blessing, it could be the blessing. How about it if the blessing's all around me, but I can't receive it because I don't want to be broken? What if I welcome the breaking? I know y'all look at me like I'm crazy. But what if we did that? We would be more like the disciples. We'd be more like the New Testament church. They counted it joy to suffer Because the suffering was the thing that we associate with non-blessing. When this scripture talks about to know him and the fellowship of his suffering. See, God never gives you anything that has pain that he doesn't follow it up with relief and blessing. So if my understanding could grasp that the blessing's coming, when I see the suffering, maybe I would go get in line for it. Isn't that different? I don't want to suffer by falling back there. Let me pay a little bit of attention. So let me just say this: the breaking, the blessing is surrounded by. But it's always found very close, breaking and blessing, breaking and blessing. The angel that Jacob, bless you. The angel that Jacob struggled with, it said he wrestled with him, right? The translation for that, because in my mind I get a picture of Jacob and this angel wrestling. It doesn't look like a good picture to me. It's like, why am I struggling? Why would I struggle all night over something? But now if I'm honest, I realize there's some things that I struggle with. I wish it would have only lasted for a night. I wish it would have only lasted for a night. What I'm telling you is that I'll be honest. I'm in my 50s. I'm in my first of my 50s, but I'm in my 50s. But I don't want to struggle with things in my 50s that I struggled in my 40s with. And let's take it further. I don't want to struggle in my 50s with things I struggled in my 30s with. Let me take it a little further. I don't want to struggle in my 50s in things I struggled in my 20s with. And I get messed up because I see that an angel and Jacob fought for one night. Let me give you the translation of that word, struggle, wrestle. This is how they struggled, that thou now has power. One that struggles is one that now has power. So he brought something out of that he didn't take into it. Why? The key is that this struggling was persistence. Can I tell you what persistence is with God? It is training. Why did he say obey and diligently obey? Because he was training. Because sometimes obedience is a struggle. But you come out of that struggle with power. Nobody ever went to a gym for 6 months and worked out every day and came back looking like the person that they started. What I'm telling you is if you've been struggling with something, you should be coming out with power. You know who recognizes power? The enemy. But he will only recognize power in you if it's not your power. Because if it's not your power, it must be God's. Because the enemy has power, and the enemy knows power. But he knows, just like Jesus knew when power left him, when virtue left out of him, he knew. Had that woman been doing? Struggling for years. Listen, I didn't say that for y'all to think, oh, Pastor John's been smoking them cigarettes since he's 20 years old. Can't get Ricky, can't kick him. I like Pastor John, pray for him. He can't kick him. Sorry. I never had a class in drama. I just raised two queens and the queen bee of drama. What I'm trying to tell you is the enemy would look at you and say, you've been struggling so long, you're a failure. God would look at you and say, I've been thinking about changing your name a long time. I've been wanting to change your name a long time. Since we don't, you know why we, thank you, Lord. You know why sometimes we don't hear God's voice? It's because he's calling us by the name that he wants to call us by. Woo! I'm not going any further, Christine, when you come play. I can't go any further than that.
Boy, do we ever need to hear that. We don't even recognize his voice because he's calling us by the name he wants to call us. Can we do something today? Can we all just come up here? Get close. Get tight, because I want to tell you something. We don't need atmosphere. We don't need music. We don't need any of that. We just need Jesus. I just felt so strongly to tell you, so many of you are in a wrestling match. You know, big, I know, you want blessing, but you, the first double leg takedown, you want to tap out. You wrestle for a little bit, and then you're like, whoa, don't tap out. Look at somebody and say, I'm not tapping out anymore, because my blessing is at the end of this. You are a guaranteed winner. I don't care if your nose is broke, if you got the cauliflower ear after it's all over with. Jacob came out with a limp, but he came out with a new name. Raise your hand if you want a new name. At the end of everything this family's been through, we're going to have a new name. We're going to be able to speak to stuff we've never been able to speak. Don't let your hands come down. Keep those hands up. Work on some resistance this morning. You're going to have a new name when you come through what you've been through for 2 years or more. Your family, the Holloways, you're going to have a new name. Y'all are going to have a new name when you come through whatever struggle it is. You might have a limp, but you know what? It will always remind you of who you used to be. And I'm going to tell you, don't tap out. Keep wrestling and keep going. The only way you lose is if you tap out. Can you just talk to the Lord right now? Just talk to him and say, I'm not going to tap out. I'm going to keep wrestling. I'm going to keep going to the mat until you give me a new name, until I'm blessed. If it's a whole season, if it's 3 years, if it's 5 minutes, if it's 10 days, I'm not going to tap out. When you feel the pressure, when you feel the twisting, when you feel the pain, you just know that that's the cost of your blessing. The greater the wrestle, the greater the blessing. You will change. You will change in this time on your mat with the Holy Spirit. Would you just welcome it today? Can you get past the pain of it, the twisting of it, the slamming down of it, and stop looking at it as defeat and start looking at it as your next season, that you're not going to give up. You are going to stay till the end, and you're not going to tap out in Jesus' name. But Father, we receive that word this morning. We will not give up. We're going to get tough. And we are not going to give up when we feel the slamming and the wrestling. We are going to welcome it and realize that this is the way that we get your blessing, God. And it is worth it. We will not lose. We may suffer some bangs and some things, but they are training and they are authority for what we're going to walk in after this. We will have paid the price. We can say, yes, I've been there. I know that because I didn't tap out in the middle of my wrestling match with the Holy Spirit. We welcome your blessing, God, whatever that looks like. We love it when it looks pretty and when it looks nice. And when it shows up with a gift bag, but we also welcome it when it means we get thrown into the wrestling match, God. When we get thrown onto the mat, God, and we don't feel like we're ready, but Christ in us is always ready, and he will never lose. So we receive that power today. Can you just lift your hands and receive his power?
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Will you just play that song, Give Me Jesus? Ryan, could you come play that for us? I just want us to make that our closing song. I want Jesus. Because if I get Jesus, I get his blessing. I mean, I think I got enough understanding to understand this. I want blessing, yes. But if I get Jesus, the blessing will follow. And there's nothing that he will do that's going to hurt me. It's just understanding. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have this whole world. Give me Jesus. Sing it right. Something breaking. I really do. It's not loud and shouty and emotional, but something's breaking in this room. I mentioned something last week about a tipping point. I've got to believe that there are tipping points with God. I can't believe that there's always going to be struggle. I can believe that there's going to be glory to glory. And that I won't recognize the difference between one glory and another glory if there's not some struggle in between. But it won't always be just struggle.
That's right.
I believe I see tipping points. So I want us to do one more thing. I don't want to sing the second and the third verse. I want us to prophesy to our Monday morning. I think your Mondays would be better if you start prophesying to them. My wife was so pretty this morning, and she's so pretty right now. And she kissed me at the front door. She just walked right up to me and kissed me. And it was one of them, it wasn't one of them nasty, sloppy. I don't want y'all to get, it wasn't like, 15 minutes in the days of our lives or anything like that. But it was enough. It was enough where I backed off where I said, I prophesied to you, we're going to be late for church this morning. She said, come on, sucker, let's go. To church. We came on to church. I was like, darn it. That messed me up. I even forgot where I was going with that. Prophesy to your Monday. It's all right. It might not even work, but try it. I bet you didn't prophesy last Monday. But prophesy to tomorrow. Because if the good Lord tarries, you're going to wake up tomorrow. Unless you stay up all night wrestling, you're going to wake up tomorrow. And this, wake up to the first verse. Just sing that first verse, and let's go through the chorus again.
In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, just give me Jesus. In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, just give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Get out of this world.
Been through something that God called us and I didn't think we were. But I think it's Judges chapter 6, Gideon. God came to Gideon and said, Gideon, a mighty warrior of God, Gideon's response was, I'm the weakest man in the weakest tribe. Any deduction that you can make out of that would let you know that Gideon was saying, I'm the weakest man in the whole nation. He said, I'm the weakest man in my family, and I'm the weakest man in my tribe, and we're of the weakest tribe of all. So that means Gideon at least viewed himself as the weakest man in the nation. You know what he was? He was a target for God.
Yes.
So God said, that's the one I'll use right there. The one that's not just the weakest. He believes he's the weakest. Let me start by changing his name. I believe God's going to start changing some names around here. That last 5 minutes, that message, I didn't have. That's why I had to stop. I need to just go lay down somewhere. God gave me all that. But I really believe we're not hearing him because it's not that he's not talking. He's calling us something that we don't think we are, but he thinks we are. Just worried for him to step into it. And I believe he's going to start calling you by something. Start answering differently. Talking to me. Talking to me. Talking to one that thinks he can't. Let me know that maybe I can. Just the way I've learned to preach effectively is to take scripture. Don't change it, but just reverse engineer it to where it starts making sense that maybe God's speaking that to me. Maybe he intended for me not to just read it, but hear it. Maybe he intended for that to become seed to get down inside of me. So it won't change God. The only possibility of something changing around here is me, right? So, we just hold your hands out like this, like you're going to receive something. God, I bless your people in the name of Jesus. Most powerful name that there is. I bless their ears to hear your call. I bless their understanding that they would take the question mark off of, is that you, Lord? And I bless the resolve in them to persevere and to push through and to hold on so that they can receive what you've got for them. I believe that there are connections of blessing in this room. That somebody in this room is going to be blessed because somebody else in this room finally got blessed. I believe that we're connected that strongly, God. And I believe that there's somebody in this room right now that didn't think that they were going to be a blessing, and they're going to find out they are because you say they are. Thank you, Lord. Your word says, behold, I do a new thing. It springs up. Will you not know it? Will you not be a part of it? God, help us to be a part of the things that you're doing. It's possible that you could be doing something and we're not even a part of it. So let us be aware. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Receive it. Receive today. Go in the power of the Lord. We've already prophesied to your tomorrow. Start looking forward to it. Tomorrow when you wake up, give me Jesus. He's saying, got that. Got that. God bless you.